Second John, verse 8 and 9. Watch yourselves, that you might not lose what we have accomplished, but that you may receive a full reward. Anyone who goes too far and does not abide in the teaching of Christ does not have God. The one who abides in the teaching, he has both the Father and the Son. And we'll end the reading here of this portion this morning of God's Word. This morning we're going to look at a few words, actually, in verse 9. In the New American Standard, in verse 9, it begins, "Anyone who goes too far." The King James Version says, "Whoever transgresses," or "whoever transgresseth." May be surprising to some of you, I believe that the New American Standard Version is the better translation. In the original Greek, the words read literally, "Everyone going forward," "everyone going ahead," or "everyone going beyond." And I think the New American Standard is probably the more literal translation here. "Anyone going too far" probably better represents the original language. Certainly, to transgress is to go too far. And that's why those who translated the New, or the King James Version chose that language. But we usually reserve the word transgression to an association with the law of God. Anyone who transgresses the law. But the law is not particularly mentioned here. And so that's why many modern translations use the phrase that anyone who goes too far. Go too far gives us a little more description of the problem to which John refers. It's a problem that is dangerous for all of us. In the context of 2 John, John is referring to verse 7. Where he says that we are to not acknowledge, or we are, those of us who are Christians, we are to acknowledge Jesus as coming in the flesh. We are to believe that teaching. And in verse 8, he warns them that they not lose what they have accomplished. Many deceivers have gone out into the world, in verse 7, those who do not acknowledge Jesus as coming in the flesh. And then in verse 9, he says, those who teach that have gone too far. They have gone too far. Anyone who denies the full manhood of Christ literally has gone beyond, has gone forward too far, has gone ahead. Notice how the language refers to verse 7, they have gone too far in the sense that they have subtracted from the character of Christ. From the person of Christ. They have subtracted from who He is, and by subtraction you can go too far. That's the point. Subtracting from the person of Christ, His characteristic as being fully man, means that you have gone too far. You've gone beyond the Scriptures. Or as the King James Version says, you have transgressed. John warns this elect lady, when you find such people who go too far, avoid them. when you find people who take the Scripture too far, or go beyond the Scripture, or subtract from the Scripture, avoid them. Because it's a very dangerous thing to do. Now, John also wrote in Revelation something very similar to that, and you're familiar with that passage in Revelation 22:18. He says this, "I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God shall add to him the plagues which are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the tree of life and from the holy city which are written in this book." In Revelation, John says you can go too far in two ways. You can either add to the words of the book, or you can subtract from the words of the book. There is a danger of subtraction, and there's a danger in addition. And if you do, he says in 2 John 9, you do not abide in the teaching of Christ. You do not abide in the teaching of Christ. You cannot rest. If you go further, if you add or you subtract from the Word of God. So we are taught here in 2 John, as well as we are in the book of Revelation, that we are, as Christians, to be careful that we abide in the Word of God alone. We are not to go too far. We are not to go beyond the teaching of the Word of God as if it were the Word of God, this addition, and we are not to fall short. We are not to withhold. We are not to subtract from God's Word, as some were in teaching that Christ had not fully come into the flesh, and therefore John says they have no part in the kingdom of God. And I think this is one reason why James discourages people from becoming teachers in the church. Kind of odd in our damn time, I think. In most churches, we're trying to find teachers and find teachers and find teachers. And if we can find a warm body anywhere, you know, we'll ask them to teach. Or if you've just been in the church for a week, you just become a Christian for a week, we want you to be a teacher. James says, no, no, let not many of you become teachers, my brethren, knowing that as such we shall incur a stricter judgment. Think twice when somebody says, we want you to be a teacher in the church. We don't believe in share groups, you know. We don't mind people sharing with each other in fellowship, but our teaching situations in this church are not to be share groups. We just come together and we share with one another, as they are in many churches. Sometimes all they do is they share their ignorance. It's not sharing time. In this church, when we get together, what we want is a teacher who will teach us the Word of God, who will not add to that Word or who will not subtract from that Word. I'm not interested in sharing. I want somebody who knows the Word of God and will come to me and teach me the Word of God. Not subtracting from it and not adding to it. And so typically we are very careful in asking people to teach. If you're teaching in this church, you have taught in this church, I can guarantee you, you have come under some scrutiny by the elders of the church. Because we don't want somebody standing up front just sharing with us their opinions and their views. We want somebody who knows the Word of God and who will handle it correctly, who will not add to it, who will not subtract from it, and will bring to us the very truth of the living God. That's what we need in the church. Paul wrote to Timothy and said to Timothy, "Be diligent to present yourself to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, dividing rightly the word of truth." Interesting, he said to Timothy, "Be diligent to present yourself to God as a workman." Not primarily to the people. I'm not here to present myself to you primarily. When the sermon's over today, the question will not be, were the people of God pleased? But the question that ultimately will be, was God pleased with what I had to say today? Be diligent to present yourself to God as a workman, that you'll not be ashamed before God, dividing rightly the word of truth. And that implies there's a wrong way to handle the word of God. There's a wrong way to divide this truth. Just because a man handles and interprets and divides the Bible does not mean he does it rightly. And one of the greatest dangers John mentions in handling the Word of God is simply to go too far. You've gone too far. Now, I'm going to mention some examples here this morning of people going too far. But before I do, I want to tease some of our theologians here a little bit. Okay, we have some theologians in our church. We have a lot of theologians in our church. I want to tease you a little bit. I want to challenge you just a little bit here this morning. Something I've been thinking about for years, and I thought about writing an article on it, but I haven't done it yet. But I want to stir your minds up to think a little beyond what you probably have thought before. This is just a short sidetrack. I'm going to take a few minutes and we'll get back to the passage. The Westminster Confession of Faith says this, and I haven't found anybody who probably can say it any better, in regard to the Word of God. It says, "The whole counsel of God concerning all things necessary for His own glory, man's salvation, faith, and life is either expressly set down in Scripture or by good and necessary consequence may be deduced from Scripture, unto which nothing at any time is to be added, whether by new revelations of the Spirit or traditions of men." And notice how they say the same thing I've been saying this morning. Nothing is to be added to the Word of God. We are to believe in everything the Scripture says, and we are also to believe in everything that can be deduced by good and necessary consequences from the Scriptures. And that's where I have the challenge for you today. The query I have for you is that there may be some things deduced from Scripture that may be good but may not be necessary. Think about it. The confession says that we are to believe everything that can be deduced from Scripture by good and necessary consequences. And I have seen some deductions that are good, but are not necessary. And I've thought of some examples, but I'm not going to share those with you here today. But maybe at supper time after church, you might think about that. Well, are there any things that are good deductions from Scriptures, but may not be necessary? Because the confession tells us they must be both good and necessary. Good deductions may not be necessary. All necessary deductions are good, but not all good deductions may be necessary. Okay, we'll move on now. Just wanted to challenge you with that because I've thought a lot about that in days gone by as I deal even with people in Reformed circles. That concerns me sometimes. That I see people who make good deductions from Scripture, but may not be necessary deductions. And they treat them as if they are necessary deductions. But, back to our point. We can go too far. The prime example, Christ never came into the flesh, some people say. You've gone too far. They teach us that God is so good, He could never inhabit the flesh of man. You've gone too far. They teach us that the flesh is evil. That Christ simply is an apparition. That He simply came in the Spirit and dwelt in a man. But He was never really that man. He only dwelt in that man because how can God become flesh? Because God is so much greater than man. How could He ever become man? And so really, when we saw this man called Christ, we were seeing a man and Christ was somehow in the Spirit inside of Him. Our forefather said, you know what? That's heresy. That's heresy. And if you had taught that in the church 100 years ago, 200 years ago, and you would have not repented of that belief, you would have been excommunicated. They would have put you out the door so fast, you would have known what was happening. You know, people can get away with that today. In most churches, people wouldn't even be able to detect that era. John simply says you've gone too far. Not only says that, but if you'll notice, he goes on to say, verse 9, anyone who goes too far and does not abide in the teaching of Christ does not have God. The one who abides in the teaching, he has both the Father and Son. Going too far on this particular issue means you do not have God. And people say, well, what does it really matter? I mean, Jesus in the flesh or Jesus in the Spirit, a spirit who took up a place of dwelling in a man that maybe He chose that would be a good place to dwell. What does it really matter? Well, John says it matters a whole lot. He says it matters so much. He says if you don't teach this, that Jesus was a man, He says you don't even have God. You don't know God. He's like a pagan. You don't have Christ. You've gone too far. You've gone beyond the teaching of Scriptures. And we must be careful, even in our own circles, that we don't go too far in either adding to the Word of God or subtracting from the Word of God. And as I mentioned, I'm afraid that in many cases I have noticed that there are many good Christians in Reformed circles who do make good deductions from Scriptures, but they are not necessary deductions. And they go too far. It's not as serious as what we're dealing with here in this text. It's still a problem. We have many examples today where people go too far. They go too far. They go beyond the Scriptures. For example, this is not a problem, I don't think, particularly among us, but there are those who teach in churches that if we were to ever take a taste of anything that had alcohol in it, we would be sinning. To take a drink of wine, you would be sinning, they tell us. I would say, you know what? They go too far. They go too far. Just because alcoholics and drunkards abuse alcohol does not make it sinful. After all, at the wedding of Cana, Jesus turned the water into wine. so the people might drink it in a festive occasion and enjoy the feast of the wedding. He didn't turn it into grape juice. He didn't turn it into Pepsi Cola. He turned it into wine for the wedding guests to enjoy and for people to come to you and say, if you ever taste wine, you are sinning against God. You know what? They've gone too far. Gone too far. They've added to the Scriptures. They've added to the Word of God. There are those in some circles who say that if you go to a movie, go to watch a television show, you sinned. I don't know if there are many left now. There used to be in circles that were in our area, but even the most staunch fundamentalist now, I think, has a television. I think they've kind of weakened up on that. But they've gone too far. There is a movie out, The Lord of the Rings, J.R.R. Tolkien. I don't know if you go see that. I don't think you've gone too far. Some people say you've gone too far, but I don't believe you've gone too far. I can't find in the Word of God where you've gone too far. And it would be certainly very, very improper on my part to stand in the pulpit and say, if you go see that movie, you've gone too far. Just gone too far, but the Scriptures doesn't say you've gone too far. I can't go to the Word of God and tell you you've gone too far. There are some people who believe that if you have enough faith, you don't need to go to doctors, to physicians for medical care. And that's not as big as it used to be, but you know, if you've got a medical problem, just go see Benny Hinn or Oral Roberts. They'll take care of you. You turn on your television, you can flip through there and you can see it happening, you know. Just come on up front and get healed. You don't need a doctor, you just need faith. I've come to believe that is, and I'll say this very cautiously and carefully, that is a cult on American television. That is not Christianity. That is a cult. A religious cult in our society. Why go to a doctor when you can have faith and be healed? They've gone too far. It's interesting that Paul liked to have Luke, who was a physician, with him about everywhere he went. You know, I'd like to have my own doctor everywhere I went, too. Wasn't a lack of faith on his part. These people go too far. There are some who say that the King James Version of the Bible is the only inspired version of the Bible. It may be a good version. It may be the best version. But it's not the only inspired translation of the Bible. You've gone too far. Or some people would say, well, we are New Testament Christians. You know, we just believe that the church began with the first verse in Matthew. And all this Old Testament, that was for Israel. Well, they've gone too far. In my opinion, they don't belong in the pulpit. They do not belong in the pulpit of the Church of Jesus Christ. Isn't it strange that Jesus and Paul, when they were quoting the Word of God, they were quoting the Old Testament? When they were preaching and they were teaching the Scriptures, they were teaching the Old Testament to the New Testament church. Isn't it strange that Paul writes to Timothy and says that, reminds him that he was raised upon the Holy Scriptures, which made him wise unto salvation in Jesus Christ, and those Scriptures that Timothy had from his Jewish mother and his Jewish grandmother was the Old Testament. And when people say that, well, all we need is the New Testament and we have all we need, as foolishness and they've gone way too far. All you have to do is read the New Testament and see how much they quote the Old Testament as the Word of God and as the standard to understand the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. They've gone too far. And then we see other churches today on the other side of the scale, on the liberal side of the scale, where they've gone too far. We have churches today, and it's become normal, standard, nobody objects, nobody complains, nobody would dare say anything, but we have churches today who have women in the pulpits, wearing robes with the name Reverend, when the Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy and said, "Let not a woman teach or exercise authority over a man." That's what the Bible says, and people who do not obey God's Word, they go too far. Churches who deny the virgin birth of Christ doubt that Jesus was born of a virgin. They've gone too far. And today we have denomination after denomination who are not sure whether homosexuality is a sin or a blessing. You know, they're just not sure. They're not against it and they're not for it. They're just not sure. You've gone too far. Even in your doubt, you've gone too far. Because God's people will say that homosexuality is a sin. We need to make sure that we don't go too far. May God have mercy on us when we speak the truth of God. May He prevent us from adding or subtracting to His Word. And if we have, may God forgive us. Let us pray. Oh God, our Father, what a great responsibility it is to have the Word of God. What a great blessing it is. And yet with that blessing, we confess we need teachers. We need teachers in the church. Raise up teachers. Oh Lord, we need great teachers. Teachers who love Your Word. Teachers who are so wise, they will not go too far. They will not subtract. They will not add to Your Word. Oh Lord, bless Your church. And may we perceive the days which are upon us, that we do live in perilous times. We live in a generation where it seems that God has given over to His judgment. And, O Lord, as we face the days to come, may we face it in the power of Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.